you would open your copy of God's Word this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And we will also then flip over and read from Ephesians chapter 6 as well. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If you want to flip over quickly to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come under your word now, we know because you have told us that we come hungry, that we come needy. Father, we need to receive its food. We need to receive the bread of life that is in Jesus. We need to have our ignorance corrected by your wisdom. Father, we need you, and we need the light of your Spirit, and so we ask for it now. Would you do in us, by your word, that which you would have sent it for? Father, would you glorify yourself in us this morning? And would we find our joy full in you? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we continue our series in the supremacy of God this morning. And last time we looked at the supremacy of God in marriage, and flowing out from that, this morning we want to spend our time under God's word looking at the supremacy of God in parenting. God is supreme. He is the supreme being in all of the universe. From his wisdom and might and power and out of his character flows all that we see in creation. He has made it, and so it is. He is Lord over it. He has divine rights over everything that he has made, from the tiniest little bug on the ground to his image bearers, human beings created male and female. God is the Lord. He is supreme. Supreme in his wisdom, in his goodness, in his love, in his sovereignty, in his power, in his justice, in his grace, in his mercy. And we've been laboring in the scriptures to see that supremacy and to hold it up before our eyes, looking at it from different angles in the scriptures. God is supreme in all things. And as we've looked at him in that way, we come now to the task of parenting. And it follows, of course, that if God is supreme in all things, then God is supreme in parenting. And we want to look this morning at how the supremacy of God can be manifested in our parenting. And not just can be, but must be and should be. And in doing that, we want to look at these two passages kind of in tandem together this morning. So we want to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we dig in here. Deuteronomy chapter 6 will provide the bulk of our time. So God is supreme in all things. His magnificence is beyond our comprehension. We've seen that his purposes in creating a universe are to display his supremacy in all things, to put it on display in material things, to put it on display in the reality of humanity and our fallenness and his wonderful and glorious and matchless grace in coming into that and bringing redemption. Salvation being all of him, he intends to display his glory, the glory of his supremacy, of his character, in everything that he does. And we as human beings are designed to reflect him in that. One of the things that it means to be an image bearer of God is to reflect his desire and his goal and his focus to be glorified in all things. Not that we would seek to be glorified in all things, but that we would, in reflecting him, seek that God would be glorified in all things, in every aspect of our lives. And so how can we bring the supremacy of God? How must we bring the supremacy of God into parenting? Well, the first way is this. You must get your eyes on the Supreme Lord. Get your eyes on the Supreme Lord. Look where Moses begins here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's about to give a very intensive description of the task of parents towards their children, and he begins in this way, in verse 4, by holding up before the people the Lord himself. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Yahweh our God, the Lord is one. God is supreme in his lordship. Just a few of the things that this means. You think of the singularity that Moses points us towards here. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Unlike every other nation on the earth at the time, here we have one God, not many gods. Here Moses calls attention to these parents. So you think of fathers and mothers. They're listening to his instruction in the assembly of Israel. And he's going to be giving them specific instruction in their parenting. And he says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There are no other gods to tremble before, fathers and mothers, and everyone else. There are no other gods to tremble before. You think of Egypt from which he called them. And you think of the people there, the Egyptians, trembling before this God when there's storms, and before this God when there's famines, and before this God when there's eclipses and it's dark, and before this God when there's a drought. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There are no other gods to tremble before. Get your eyes on the supreme Lord, the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Fear him and fear no other. There are no other gods to please. We live before God as the supreme Lord. We're to get our eyes upon him as the supreme Lord because there is no other one, no other being before whose face we live all of our days, and who we ought to seek to please by his grace and in his mercy. We should crave the affirmation of no other. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. If you are to exalt the supremacy of God in your parenting, you need to get your eyes on the supreme Lord, and you need to live before his face. You need to seek his approval and no other approval. There are no other gods with authority. Oh, there's many gods who vie for the positions of authority. Many other gods who vie, so-called gods who vie for positions of authority, who will tell you that they have supreme authority. In our day, the one that's most present to us is indeed the god, so-called, of the state. The state will assert its unilateral authority into our lives in this area or that area. It's inescapable. But we need to get our eyes on the supreme Lord. There are no other gods with authority. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And if we are to parent under the supremacy of God, then we must get our eyes on him and get our eyes off all others. His supreme lordship means that there are no other gods to worship. Get your eyes, parents. Get your eyes, saints at Cornerstone, on the supreme Lord here. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. No one and nothing else deserves your worship. God is owed all of your worship. So get your eyes on him. That's where we begin. Get your eyes on him, the splendor of his holiness, the magnificence of your grace. We cannot forget, as we get into the details here this morning, of what has come before in this series on the supremacy of God, we're not leaving behind his supremacy in salvation or his supremacy in sanctification. That is the launching point from which we move into these realities here this morning. God is supreme in salvation. He does it ultimately for the sake of his own praise, for the sake of his own glory. And we benefit from that as those who have received his grace in the person of Jesus Christ. And he works out his grace in us, not just pardoning our sins, not just forgiving our iniquity, not just crediting us with the righteousness of Christ that we might stand before him justified, but then in us he actually, moment by moment, day by day, is conforming us to the image of his Son. He is transforming us by his grace. He is working in us truth and mercy. He is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in us. And it's out of those realities that we walk into these things. So part of getting our eyes on the supreme Lord in order that God might be supreme in our parenting is getting our eyes on the reality of his grace and mercy for us in Jesus Christ. Getting our eyes on the reality that apart from him, we can do nothing. getting our eyes on the reality that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for because it is God who works in us both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. So get your eyes on him. Get your eyes on him. Second, get your love rightly ordered. Get your eyes on him, and then get your love rightly ordered. Look what it says next. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. If we are to parent in the supremacy of God, if God is to be supreme in our parenting, then we must get our loves rightly ordered. We must heed the call. Because God, in his magnificence and in his supremacy, he demands, he calls forth, he is owed all of us. He makes comprehensive demands on our entire person. This is the most natural thing that someone could say after the previous verse. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. They fit together perfectly. It is an of course moment. Of course, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Therefore, we shall love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If God is to be supreme in our parenting, then he cannot have part of our love. We must have a love for him that is a comprehensive love. He is a whole God, and we must love him with our whole beings. We cannot hold up the supremacy of God before our children if we are not seeking to love God with every aspect of who we are. With all of our thinking, with all of our feeling, and with all of our doing. Or as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 12, in view of God's mercies, present your bodies as living sacrifice. God is owed all of us. God demands all of us. And if God is to be supreme in our parenting, our loves must be rightly ordered. We cannot love anything. We cannot love anything in the place of God. We must cultivate a love for God with all of our being in all of life. This is a lifelong endeavor. This is not the resolution of a moment. But it's as we get our eyes on the Supreme Lord that our affections, that our desires, that our loves come increasingly in line with who he is and what he has done for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is to permeate every aspect of us. So get your eyes on the Supreme Lord and then get your love ordered rightly. And if you haven't noticed, this isn't like, okay, just do this once and then you can go on to parent in the supremacy of God. This list is something that we do like this over and over and over again. Sometimes over and over again in the same 5-minute period, you'll see how it works. Get your love rightly ordered. Number three, get your heart filled with his word. If you want the supremacy of God to be saturating your parenting as you should, as you ought to, as you're called to by the scriptures, get your heart filled with his word. Look what it says as we carry on in our passage. Verse 6, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Get your heart filled with His Word. And it's important to note here that God always intended for the internalization of His Word. So we see as we go throughout the Scriptures that the Old Covenant did not, by nature of the covenant itself, guarantee the internalization of the Word. There were members of the Old Covenant, according to the flesh, who had no internalization of the Word of God, and they were not even saved. But it's not because back then God just intended His Word to be an external thing that you just kind of obeyed outwardly and it was all about appearances. Of course not. It was always intended to be internal. Look what it says there. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. God intends for His Word to saturate us, to fill us, to be meditated on, dwelt on, reflected over at the center of our being, not just outside of us or not just intellectually, but at the heart. The heart, we read in Proverbs, is the wellspring of life. The heart is connected with willing and with acting and with desiring. That's where the Word of God needs to dwell in us if we are to parent in a way that is saturated by the supremacy of God. Get your heart filled with His Word. Read it, yes. Listen to it, yes. But pray it right down into the very core of your being. Meditate on it. Turn it over. Trust in it. Rest in it. Live in it. Obey it. Get your heart filled with His Word. Perhaps this is one of the areas where you need to just make immediate application. As you think of, okay, I want to parent in a way that exalts the supremacy of God. Is your heart filled with His Word? Is your heart filled with His Word? Are your eyes on Him as the Supreme Lord? Are your loves ordered towards Him? And is your heart filled with His Word? That's where we need to begin. That's where we need to begin, and that's where we need to return again and again and again. And then out of that, you need to get your mouth flowing with the words of the Lord. Look what it says after these things. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Beloved, do you see how empty if we get to this step and we have not given attention to the first three items? Get your eyes on Him. Get your loves ordered rightly. Get your heart filled with His Word, and then you get your mouth flowing with the words of the Lord. And look how it happens. Diligently, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Here in this passage, we are speaking of education in the right sense of it, not education that happens somewhere in a corner or at a desk or when there's a chalkboard. Right? We're talking about education as the comprehensive bringing into a world and life view of an individual, the shaping of the whole of the life of an individual. This is what is Christian education. And here we see where it's taking place. You shall teach them diligently to your children. There has to be intentionality. This word has the idea of intentionality, of repetitivity, of consistency. Teach them diligently to your children. It's not something we just wait for to sort of happen. It's like, oh, there was a really neat occasion back a couple years ago, and so something kind of happened, and we brought the word in, and it was great. That's good. But that's not what this verse is talking about, is it? You shall teach them diligently to your children with intentionality, repetitively, consistently. And then look at the way in which this works out. It permeates all of life, all of life's spaces, and all of life's times. And again, everything flows naturally. God is supreme, and he will have the supremacy. God is supreme, and he will have the supremacy in our parenting. And so he ought to saturate in the instruction of our children. He ought to saturate the whole of our lives with them, our time with them. Look what it talks about. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. So here, when we're home and when we're out, those are the places where you ought to speak of the Lord and of the things of the Lord and of the instruction of the Lord. That kind of covers everything, doesn't it? When you're home and when you're away from home. It's comprehensive. There is no space where it's like, well, this isn't God's space. This is for other stuff. This is for other activities. This is not the time for the instruction of the Lord. No, all spaces belong to God. God is supreme, and so we should talk of them when we sit at home and when we walk by the way. But all times also belong to God, when you lie down and when you rise, from evening to morning to evening to morning. All of time belongs to the Lord. Parenting in the supremacy of God means that God is always supreme at every place and at every time, and that actually works its way out of our fingertips, that it actually shows up in our lives with our kids, not just at set times and set places. That's good. We need rhythms. We need places for that to happen. We need things like Lord's Day worship in our lives as believers. That's essential. It's an anchor point. But it's not just there, right? The Lord's Day is set apart to worship the Lord, but it in no way means that we're then therefore not to worship the Lord the other 6 days of the week. And so we ought to have intentional times of instruction for our children. But that's not sufficient. It ought to permeate and flow into all spaces and all times. And this brings us back to the previous principles. If our eyes are on him and our loves are ordered towards him and his word is in our heart, does not Jesus say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? So perhaps if we're struggling there, we need to return to those first principles and dive in and then be obedient to get our mouth flowing with the words of the Lord in every time and in every space. All of it saturated with the supremacy of God in his word. Fifth, we need to get ourselves into the world of Scripture and then see all the world through Scripture. We need to get ourselves into the world of Scripture and then we need to see all the world through Scripture. And this is the goal for our children. This is what we long for them to be a reality for them by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, through regeneration, through new birth, that they would have faith, and then out of that, that they would get themselves into the world of Scripture, and then that they would see all the world through Scripture. Why do I say that? Well, look at the next verses. Get into some weird things here. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So what is Moses talking about there? Is it just saying, like, if you want to remember Scripture, if you write it around different places, it will be easier? Right? You've probably memorized some verses because they're on a wall thing. That's fine. That's good. Right? And you've probably written things on the back of your hand to remember, notes, whatever, phone numbers. So you could write a verse on the back of your hand and you'd probably remember it. You could look at it. But is that what Moses is talking about here? No, it's not at all what he's talking about here. Think of what these different things represent. Your hand represents your activity. It represents your doing. These are the little things by which we engage the world. We carry things. We hug people. We smash things. We build things. We try to put a thread through a needle and it doesn't work for some of us. Everything. We engage the world through these. So when Moses says you'll bind them as a sign on your hand, it means that the Word of God is supposed to so saturate you that all of your doing is informed by it. All of your doing is shaped by it. And when he says they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, well, what's between your eyes right here inside of this thing? It's your brain. It's your thinking. The Word of God is supposed to so be here that it shapes every aspect of your thinking. You shall write them on your doorposts. The Word of God is supposed to have supremacy not just over our doing, not just over our thinking, but it's supposed to have supremacy over every area of the home, every activity that takes place within the home. And the gates represent the place by which you do business with the world. So we move outside of the home and we move into the public sphere. So the Word of God is supposed to have supremacy over our doing and over our thinking and over our homes and then over all of our public activity, all of it. And so that's why I say get yourself into the world of Scripture. That's what Moses is talking about here. Get yourself into this world because this is the real world. This is the real world. And we need to get ourselves into it, and then we need to see everything else by it and through it. One illustration that's been given is the illustration of the window. You're looking out of the window, and everyone talks about what you see outside of the window. But we don't often talk about the window itself. We don't often look at the window itself. Well, all of us look through windows to see the world, and yet those windows change what we see. They change what we perceive as reality. And what we're called to hear in parenting is that God would be the supreme window by which we see all things. And that is what we're called to here in this part of the verse, to get ourselves into the world of Scripture, to be so saturated by the world of Scripture that we think about everything in connection to God. God is supreme. And the worst thing that we could do for our children's b- besides neglecting the gospel itself, would be to teach them either in word or in action, by omission perhaps, or by things we do, that God gets certain areas and not other areas. That undermines the supremacy of God in every way. If we communicate that this stuff is God's, and so we talk about God here and we connect this to God, but all of this, there's this huge area of other stuff that we just kind of leave nebulous and open, and somehow it's like, well, I don't know what it is. Is it, what's it connected to? What's it for? Why do we do it? Whether it's baseball or tobogganing or making hot chocolate, singing songs, running, tickling. All of it comes under the supremacy of God, and we need to see all of it by His Word. And so we need to get ourselves into the world of Scripture by reading it, receiving it over and over, so that our thinking is changing. How does Paul put it? Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The world is trying to conform you to its pattern of thinking all the time and in many different ways. And our work for ourselves in terms of growing in sanctification, and the labor for which we want to see our children changed, is that they wouldn't be conformed to that pattern, but that they would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That God's Word would shape them in that there would not be conformity. And this is supposed to saturate every area and every aspect of life, that God would have the supremacy in all of it. So we need to get our eyes on the Supreme Lord. We need to get our loves ordered rightly towards Him. We need to get our hearts filled with His Word. We need to get our mouths flowing with the words of the Lord. And we need to get ourselves and our children into the world of Scripture, and then see all the world through that same Scripture. And then God will have the supremacy in our parenting. He will have the supremacy that He is owed. All of it under Him. No aspect left to us, to our own devices, to our own whims and desires, but all of it under Him, and all of it for His glory. Let's pray. Father, truly You are great and greatly to be praised. And as we open up Your Word and we see Your supremacy, and Your supremacy, the way it's supposed to work itself out in how we care for and communicate with and shape and mold and raise and model for our children. Lord, please fix our eyes upon You. Please order our love towards You, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Please fill our hearts with Your Word. Please let our mouths overflow with those words for our children. And please help us to see the world through Your Word, and by Your grace to help our children do the same. We pray all of this for the supremacy of Christ's name. Amen.